Thanks for tuning in to the Fitness Candor Podcast. I'm Eric Feigl, a personal trainer in Cincinnati, Ohio. I've been training for 10 years and have found that there are many ways to exercise, but one right way, through proper strength training. My hope for this podcast is that you find answers to your fitness questions, learn a little about the history of strength training and fitness, and combine both to maintain a healthy lifestyle. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Fitness Candor Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eric Feigl, and today I am joined with registered dietitian, Kristen DeAngelis. I'm just kidding, I'm joking. So, I got a lot of questions about nutrition, obviously as a personal trainer, and I can only go so far. So, Missions 5, which is the studio I train out of, we decided to get someone with the specialty so we can just point our clients in the right direction for two reasons. Number one, it takes pressure off of us, which is always nice. And number two, it really gives more of a focus on their nutrition so we can focus on strictly training. So it's a really good way to get a different mind behind things and kind of branch out the focuses where they need to be. So, Kristen, thanks for joining us today. I know you're traveling, so that's exciting, and I know our guests appreciate it also.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to be here, so thanks for having me on the show, Eric.
Absolutely. So, give us a little bit of your background and more specifically, why you chose to go into dietetics.
Yeah. So I am a nutritionist. For some of you who don't know what the word dietitian means, as a nutritionist, I am trained as a registered dietitian. So the training that is required to become a registered dietitian is pretty extensive. So I think it's really helpful to kind of break down what that means, because a dietitian is actually a little different than a nutritionist. Because if anyone can kind of call themselves a nutritionist, but as a dietitian, I did go through 5 years of undergraduate training at Virginia Tech, and then that allows you the requirements to go through an internship. I kind of relate it to like a residency program is what a doctor would go through. So it's a 9 month to up to two years program. And they have these internships throughout the country. So I did mine in Chicago back in 2013. So I did my internship at Ingalls Memorial Hospital. So in order to become a dietitian, you need to go through this internship where there's over 1,200 clinical hours. So we're learning to practice the field of dietetics clinically in the hospital, but also in a couple other areas. So that might be, community work. That might be, a dietitian also doing food service meal management in a cafeteria or building a menu or meal plan. So there's really a lot of different areas where you might start noticing dietitians are starting to work. You might see them a little bit more, that credential, registered dietitian. So I did my internship in Chicago, and then out of that, I did 1 year with kind of a non-traditional job, and I was a personal nutritionist for Joe Cross, who is the director producer of Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, which is a documentary on Netflix. So if you're listening to this and haven't heard of it, it's actually a really great documentary. He has a couple more out, a sequel, a third one, and they're just really great nuggets of information on how you can make simple changes to your lifestyle by including more fruits and vegetables. So I was a personal nutritionist and traveled around for about a year internationally as his executive assistant and personal nutritionist, and I did some personal training with him too. So I'm also a personal trainer and yoga instructor. So I did that for about a year, and then I said, it's a really, really high You have to have kind of always be on your game 24/7. So I just said, you know what, I really want to work more in depth with people rather than just one person every day. So love Joe. He is an incredible person. But I ended that, and my boyfriend at the time got a job here in Cincinnati. So since then, I just moved to Cincinnati, and I'm doing private practice, so taking clients here at Mission 5, but then also doing some outpatient work, leading some weight loss management classes and things like that in the area. So, long story, but condensed down a dietitian practicing here now to help really people find their most, you know, their healthiest self, their most optimal health and well-being. So, kind of a lot of different things encompassed into one.
Well, I think you brought up some good points, though, the difference between a registered dietitian and a nutritionist. So that's a good point of interest for people to take away. What made you want to get into this field exactly? Did you have some kind of, was there an issue that you saw or maybe something that you were dealing with that made you want to go into that direction?
Yeah, you know, Eric, it was really interesting. So, I don't know, have you been in Cincinnati your whole life, or have you moved anywhere else?
No, I've only been here for 7 years, so I'm a transplant okay. like you.
Okay. So, yeah, so I grew up in Boston, South Shore, Massachusetts, surrounded with a lot of, like, fresh seafood. My family grew up, we always used to just, you know, eat, there would always be a salad or vegetable, eating pretty healthy. But when I went to school in Virginia, I realized there's a lot of people from all over the country that really aren't exposed to all these wonderful foods that I grew up with. You know, and in conjunction with a lot of other things too, I was always very, very much into staying physically active and, you know, always wanted to try and say, like, well, how can I make myself better? Like, what do I have control over? I'm somewhat a little bit of a control freak in some other areas, but it's kind of fun to see how we can use food to really approach, you know, for optimal performance as fitness or as an athlete. But even just, you know, utilizing food on a daily basis to be able to think a little bit more clearly or sleep a little bit better. You know, you go to a family outing and everyone's always talking about what's on the food, what's on the table, what's on the menu. So I just liked it from the more practical sense. I can apply it anywhere I go. And especially, you know, specified in this field of, you know, applying it with fitness and nutrition. It just goes hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. And that's a really good point, too. That kind of brings up my next point of interest. Going along with fitness, what are some of the do's and don'ts with nutrition when it comes to working out? More specifically, is there something that you would recommend people eat before they work out, after they work out, maybe even during workouts? I know the during workout portion of it, can, you know, those are mainly for athletes, but for the general public, what do you recommend pre and post workout?
Yeah, awesome question. And I'm sure that you have some experience in this too, because we get asked this all the time. So pre-workout, you have to think that you're fueling for something that you're about to, you know, exert a lot of energy. And so that's really what food is. It's just energy, right? So we have like our three, I call them our three like main stars of the show that everyone knows about, our protein, our carbohydrates, and our healthy fats. So whenever I'm talking about, you know, how to meal plan or what a pre or post workout meal would be, I'm usually going to be talking about some of those main stars, the stars of the show, protein, carbs, and fat. But there's all these really important other, you know, people that help support those stars of the show, and those are called our phytonutrients, micronutrients, vitamins, minerals. So along with while I'm talking to you, Eric, just about, you know, the do's and don'ts about kind of meal planning, I really emphasize the importance of including kind of all of those, the protein, carbs, and fat, but also how can we incorporate some of these, you know, micronutrients, a lot of boosted antioxidants into some of these meals or snacks that we're going to have before or after a workout. Because there's a lot of research that's showing, you know, pomegranates or beets or blueberries that contain really potent amounts of antioxidants that can help with, for example, like post-workout muscle soreness, kind of helping reduce that. The antioxidants, these different nutrients in beets, I was just reading a study on this the other day, extensive research on the powerful effects of beet juice helping cyclists go harder and faster for longer. So it's pretty incredible to kind of talk about some of those, you know, that's where I start to get really excited, pulling the science into, you know, practical nutrition planning, especially for athletes. But yeah, so for, to just answer your question, sorry, sometimes I kind of go off, on tangents there. but yeah, so for pre-workout, you think you want to be, supplying enough energy stores so that you can get through your workout, you know, have enough fuel to get you through. So a little bit higher carbohydrate and some protein. Some people will add a healthy fat. It really kind of depends. Other people say avoid fats. But I think and fats would be something like, you know, peanut butter or avocado. It just kind of depends how people digest their food. So you'll understand what works best for your body. You think, I mean, obviously we're not talking about, you know, a burger and fries, the unhealthy fats, definitely no go. But whenever we're planning, we want to have some sort of protein, but a little bit higher carbohydrate. So that might be, you know, a piece of toast with peanut butter and some banana sliced on top. Or it might be, if you're in the morning, it might be like a smaller cup of oats. My new thing I've been doing is overnight oats with like berries, but having some kind of maybe an added protein, maybe, you know, some egg whites mixed in with the oats or something like that. So yeah, pre-workout, definitely like at least an hour before you're going to work out, but nothing too much, you know, nothing, too heavy or, you know, that would make you feel like lethargic, but enough fuel to get you through. Sure. And then post-workout, you'll want to do similar carb, but a little bit higher protein. And the purpose of that protein is helping replenish what was kind of like lost. We're helping to support muscle growth and repair. We're increasing protein synthesis. So you'll want to have either, and it depends when you have your workout, right? Is it going to be a snack or is it going to be a meal? It depends when you're scheduling that into your day. So within 30 to 60 minutes after exercise.
Right. And I'm assuming that, you know, post-workout, you're talking about the protein. The carbohydrates come into play because you're, depending on the type of workout also, you know, some people, if you're going through maybe a little slower of a workout, maybe it's not quite as intense, then is it true that you possibly want to incorporate certain types of carbohydrates? Because you're depleting glycogen stores, right? I mean, that's essentially the refueling of glycogen stores. So what's that look like in terms of your post-workout? How many, do you have like a general guideline to follow in terms of like grams of carbohydrates, grams of protein?
Yeah. So I usually suggest about 20 grams of protein post-workout and pairing that with a complex carbohydrate. So something like sweet potatoes or squash, but even like chickpeas or hummus that has some fiber going along with those complex carbohydrates. But always doing that pairing and making sure you're getting a little bit higher protein. So yeah, I usually suggest at least 20 grams of protein. And eggs are definitely a really easy avenue. You know, one egg has about 7 grams of protein. So you could do like, you know, a little egg scramble or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Greek yogurt is another good one too. The Greek yogurt specifically has higher protein. So, you know, in about a cup, you could hit that 20 grams, no problem.
Oh yeah. That's perfect. Yeah. That good tip on the eggs too. And those are so quick and easy. I mean, there's, you know, those are, it's almost like the perfect post-workout, protein if you think about it. You know, you don't necessarily have to scramble them. If a person likes eggs and hard boil, throw them in a bag and they'll take them with you, you know? You brought up something interesting there because it just kind of jogged my memory of something I wanted to ask you. When you're looking at nutrition, especially post-workout.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody goes right toward, we've even said this, you know, kind of supplements are the way to go kind of mentality. And we sell protein at the gym also, but we tell people, you know, if you're in a pinch, this is a good thing to use. Where do supplements fall on, in your category, specifically protein? Because I've always been an advocate of, if you have the opportunity to eat real food, do that first. But if you're like, if you hit a workout in the afternoon and you're going right back to the gym and it won't be, it'll be a couple hours before your next meal, that's when you need to supplement with a protein powder or something like that. So what are your takes, what are your takes on supplements?
Great. I'm really glad you brought this up. And that's always my approach, right? Food first. So you hit it on the nail there. Food first is always the best way to go. And the reason why is that there's a synergistic effect, meaning that food works in a way that the vitamins, the minerals, and what you're going to receive in the food form is going to produce a greater, more positive, that result that you want. So they've done, you know, I was just reading a research study that was comparing fiber supplements compared to eating, you know, a fiber-rich food, so like whole grains, fruits, vegetables. And they found that those that were eating the whole food fiber form compared to the functional form, it produced a much different result. So for supplements, like you said, there is a place for everyone. So food absolutely can come first, but if it's not, if, you know, you're in a pinch and you need to grab a shake or something like that, then absolutely, I'd rather see you getting that nutrition in rather than skipping a meal, and having, you know, blood sugar drop really low. Cause it's, at the end of the day, it is about, blood sugar regulation. So if a protein shake is going to be, I really recommend it for people who are, working and just tend to, you know, skip a meal or go like 6-7 hours without eating. I say, you know what, just keep some protein powder in your desk and all you have to do is, honestly, you can just mix it up with water and ice. If you have like an almond milk or something like that at your work, you can do that. But it's definitely something that has its place. And so that's where, you know, meeting one-on-one, I usually, you know, make some recommendations. When in your plan you would want to have that, you know, what would be the best supplement for you. And that's in respect to the protein shakes. And just a, you know, a warning, and I've already checked out the one that we saw at the gym, which is great. But, you know, you go to these gyms and stores and, like, man, a majority of the time, the people who sell it don't really know what they're talking about. And the FDA doesn't regulate this. Like, if you haven't seen it yet, Eric, there's PBS Frontline has a special on the supplement industry. It's just really, like, eye-opening. So if anyone's listening and are interested in, like, well, I want to know more, but I don't know where to turn about the supplements, that's a good, you know, just a, it's a special that PBS did. I thought it was really good, really well done. But yeah, I mean, the supplements, and then also, like, not just in regards to the protein shakes, like if you're doing, you know, someone has joint pain or something like that, and you want to try curcumin or turmeric supplement, like there's a time and place for some food form supplements that can potentially help you. And that's where that's going more into like a customized, you know, plan and when, what would be the right person that would fit that supplement. So yeah, supplements can kind of go quite in depth and in detail, but, in regarding protein shakes, it can be, you know, a good way to just kind of make sure that you are maintaining, you know, steady blood sugars.
I'm glad you brought that up because it, you know, the supplement should be just as personalized as the nutrition and the exercise. That's a really good point. Going along with when to eat, I've been hearing a lot of, you know, listen to a lot of different podcasts. I'm sure you do too. You read a lot of research like I do. And there's something else coming out now that I find very interesting. You know, there's a big fasting trend happening, which.
We don't
have to dive into that. But what I'd like to know is, everybody is either on board with eating breakfast or they just don't do it. And then you have, you know, trainers like myself and other people who say, you know, do eat breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day. You know, if we're still going with that philosophy. But I've been reading some stuff and seeing some things that, that say it's not necessarily as important to eat breakfast, but just to eat something after you get up when you're hungry. Whether that's at lunch or is that at, you know, dinner, and then you might have like a late night snack. And, you know, going along with kind of your the blood sugar scenario,
yep.
Where does that mm-hmm. fall and what have you heard?
Yeah, so I work with a lot of, I mean, diabetes is becoming more and more prevalent. About 9% of our population is now diabetic, and that's just the ones that we know. So diabetes is a blood sugar dysregulation problem, which obesity and being overweight, it goes hand in hand with this chronic blood sugar dysregulation problem. So for anyone who's looking in regards to weight loss, controlling hormones, controlling mood, stabilizing mood, like it all comes back to this blood sugar regulation. So, I mean, I'm so happy that you brought this up and wanted to emphasize it, because eating every like 3 to 4 hours, super, super important. So we think that, you know, when we eat something, our blood sugar kind of rises up. So imagine you're drawing a wave, right? You want that to be a gradual wave. You don't want it to spike up. If you ate a Snickers, it would spike, and then it would spike back down really low. So what we want, a complex carbohydrate, a little bit of protein and healthy fat, we have that really nice slow wave up, and then it starts to come back down. So say you eat at 8 a.m., 9, 10, 11, you're getting hungry, so the blood sugar is dropping. All right, noon, you're really starting to get hungry. It's time for lunch. So you eat again, and then that wave starts to slowly rise again with the combination of complex carbohydrates, which means it includes fiber in it, protein, so some of the proteins we talked before, and healthy fats, so something like avocado or olive oil. And that will have that gradual, you know, slow curve up. So eating every 3 to 4 hours, super important. And, you know, that even if you're someone who consistently goes to bed at, you know, 1 a.m., but your meal was at 5, your dinner was at 5 p.m., there's no hard and fast rule that says you can't eat after 8 o'clock at night. I mean, sleep is a whole nother conversation, and so you definitely shouldn't be going
right.
to bed at 1 o'clock, but, you know, I do have people that's something they're not ready to change. So I say, well, we need to have, you know, a scheduled snack, because same thing, that blood sugar regulation. We need to be eating every 3 to 4 hours. So yeah, super important for all those things I mentioned, weight loss, preventing like any blood sugar dysregulation problems like prediabetes, hormone stabilization, mood stabilization. So, and we all know what hangry feels like, right? So.
Oh yeah. I think my clients can attest to, there's two types of Eric. There's Eric that has had coffee, one who hasn't had coffee, and they're hangry. So yeah, I think everybody can attest to that.
Yeah, for sure. So, if that's, you know, that's usually one of the first things that I start on. Like, I ask someone for, you know, what have we eaten in the past day? And then I ask them, what time did you wake up? And it kind of catches them off guard, right? So sometimes, you know, just writing out what you're eating and realizing what time you're eating things at, can just be a helpful start if you're looking for what's something that I can do and start making changes with today. Just start tracking. Yeah, it's the best thing that you can start doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that brings me, you're really good at segueing, by the way. It brings me to my next question. When you're telling people how to set themselves up for success, and what are some things that you can tell people in terms of goal setting? How can they get started with goal setting their nutrition? And, you know, maybe let's say that a person had never tracked a meal before and they're just getting started. Where is your starting point?
Yeah, so goal setting, there's kind of a lot of, there's several steps, right? We first have to talk about, well, what do you want and why do you want it? So that can be a whole conversation in itself. But really understanding, like, what is your long-term goal? Like, what are your expectations? And maybe, you know, making that a realistic expectation. And then setting, you know, a few small goals so that if there's a long-term goal in a year or something that you want to achieve further down the line, what can we start doing to break it down and seem a little bit more attainable, a little bit more focused, right? So I'll usually suggest, you know, write down one to three things that you want in the long term. And then from there, we kind of work together. Okay, like what, where can we start today to break that down into several smaller goals? So something that someone could start, you know, today is, I like giving examples. Weight loss is definitely a big thing that I work with a lot of my clients right now. So I'm just going to refer to, it's the Adult Weight Management Registry, Control of Adult Weight Management Registry, and they have this ongoing database that says, what are these people doing right? It's just people who have lost at least 30 pounds or more and who have kept it off for at least 2 years or more, and they say, well, what are these people doing? They're clearly doing something right. So I kind of model what I recommend to start doing off of this. And a couple things are, number one, meal tracking. So these people are meal tracking. They're writing down what they eat, whether it be in a journal or notepad on their phone or app. And there's tons of phone applications that you can start using. MyFitnessPal is one. It's got a massive database. But if you're the type of person that gets anxiety over seeing, like, a number blinking red because it's over the calories, like, that's not going to be the app for you. Like, there's tons of meal tracking applications out there. And so that's the other thing. I'm trying to understand, you know, what's your personality type? Because maybe tracking calories isn't the right way to go. It might be more so, you know, my goal is going to be trying to get two fruits and three vegetables a day, or trying to get a protein at every meal, right? So then we'll focus on maybe meal tracking is the goal, to continue meal tracking so we can identify, you know, those gaps or those times that we're, you know, not eating every 3 to 4 hours, or where is there, you know, where could there be an opportunity to maybe plug in a fruit or a vegetable or a protein or one of those, you know, food group areas we're struggling with. But meal tracking is step one. And then the other thing is, you know, is talking to someone, having some sort of accountability. That was another thing that this weight management registry had found was consistent, having some form of accountability system. So whether that's a dietitian, whether that's your trainer, whether that's a group, like, accountability is really important. There's a couple other things that they talk about, but the meal tracking is one. Some other things I usually give, and this is if you end up having a consult with me, this is one of the big things in addition to eating every 3 to 4 hours is meal pairing. So that might be another goal that we might set. I might say, okay, you're doing really great with eating every few hours. Now let's see how we can have a protein and a fiber-rich food, which also refers to a complex carbohydrate, or a fruit, vegetable, or whole grain, all means the same thing, a protein and a fiber-rich food at every meal. So, you know, there's a couple different ways that we can look at the, you know, goal setting strategies, but identifying, you know, what's your long-term goal, what are your smaller goals, and where can we start to, you know, make improvements, whether it's every 3 to 4 hours that you're eating, or if it's, you know, making sure that you're having something to eat before or after your workout. What does your, you know, color of the rainbow scheme look like? It will look like, you know, maybe there's an opportunity to get in another color, a different type or variety of fruit or vegetable into your meal plan. So it really kind of depends, but I think that, you know, for someone looking to start today, have some form of accountability and start meal tracking. It's like a really easy place to start. And then with that information, you can go to your, you know, a dietitian, or you can go to a trainer and say, well, this is what I'm doing, right? And then we can help you from there. So it's usually right. One of the first places that I start.
Yeah, come prepared. How the meal tracking, how many days would you suggest someone track their meals before they meet with a dietitian, or how do you have people start? How many days?
Yeah, so I typically ask someone for a minimum of 3 days, and to have at least 1 weekday and 1 weekend day, because those are going to look very different. But if someone reaches out to me a little bit further out, like maybe a week or two, I'll say, you know what, start today. Start today just meal tracking. You don't need to do anything differently, but just start meal tracking. And in those 2 weeks, those people who just start meal tracking unconsciously are eating better because they're consciously eating better because they are making those choices to say, all right, well, do I want to write this down or not, without even speaking to me. So it's a really good opportunity to kind of start making subtle changes, just identifying, like, what does my diet look like right now? I can't tell you how often, Eric, you know, for someone at the outpatient clinic I work at, they'll come in, and I haven't spoken to them yet, right? So I say, all right, we're going to go through what you had yesterday, right? What you had to eat yesterday. And 9 times out of 10, they forget what they ate. They don't even know what they ate. And second point being is that every single person says, well, yesterday wasn't a good day. Doesn't matter what day of the week I see them on. So it's pretty interesting to see, you know, if it catches you off guard, you know, how are we doing? You know, just kind of checking in with ourselves.
Yeah. I like to tell people, and this is for training also, because, you know, I mean, they go hand in hand. When you're looking at goals, obviously, and I think you kind of hit on this, is you have a big picture. I want to lose X amount of body fat, or I want to be able to, you know, you name it, move better, feel better, look better. And I think people get really overwhelmed with this big sense of it's going to take me, you know, a year and a half or maybe a year to reach my goal. But in reality, you think about so many different little goals and successes that you hit every single day in terms of, all right, when I wake up in the morning, well, heck, when I go to bed at night, did I just say heck? Oh, heck. When I go to bed at night, I'm going to try to get 8 hours of sleep. All right, so maybe you didn't sleep great, but you went to bed at 11 and you tried to get up at 7 o'clock. Maybe you woke up a few times. Hey, you know what? That's step number one. Your step number two for the day is to just have breakfast. Boom. You got 2 minutes in for the day. Your next day is to have your second meal. All right, and that's what you're working towards day to day. It's not, or moment to moment. It's not necessarily one big picture at one big time. It's a lot of small pictures at small times. And eventually, and it's tough. It's not easy at all. It's never easy. But as soon as you start to get into that rhythm, and it may take you a while, then every day, you know, you start to overcome little tasks, and they become your big thing. And before you know it, you've conquered your, you know, ability to, you know, increase your lean muscle mass, reduce body fat, whatever your goal is. It happens, but it's going to take determination over time.
Yeah, and it takes practice, like, and this is a process, right? It's a process that is, it's going to change and evolve. It's going to take time. There's going to be highs and lows. There's going to be successes, and there's also going to be, you know, a step forward and sometimes a step back. But with the step back, we also learn from, you know, well, what happened, or how could we, you know, approach that differently? We have to always view it as, wow, this is a great opportunity to learn and listen to our body and understand, like, how we can, you know, go through with any life change, there's challenge, right? So kind of working through that and breaking it down to much, 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 very, very small goals, so that we can focus on those really small positive changes. And then, you know, a couple months down the line, it's like, wow, I've totally changed the way that I think and view and, you know, consume my food, my nutrition, or go to the gym, whatever that is. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And I think if, you know, I'll stop beating the dead horse, but the moment that people realize, because I think sometimes when the professional, you congratulate somebody on reaching a milestone or something that is a quote, unquote, small goal, something that you've been reaching for, and you congratulate them, like, oh, well, you know, it's only been one day. Yeah, one day that you're starting a new goal, one day that you're starting a new lifestyle, one day, everybody starts with one day. And it's, you know, that one day is probably the most important out of any other time during your journey in fitness, health, you know, you name it. So, something to take away, people, is just because you set a small goal and you hit it, be happy. Celebrate that small goal. Remember it. Mark it down on your calendar. And then in 6 months, you'll look back and say, that's the date that I reached that goal, and that goal got me here. So, you know, it's so important, because so many people get kind of down and says, well, I know, but this person's doing that. You know, don't compare yourself to somebody else. It's not their journey. You're on a totally separate journey. Just put your head down and go. And I think you said that, and I said that in so many ways. So, you know, I'll get off my soapbox, but.
No, yeah, that's actually something that I do currently with my weight management classes that I'm teaching right now. But I tell people, or anyone that I work with, keep a journal and log your successes, like week one, week two, week three. What was my success from the week? And it could be totally not related to your goal. It could just be the fact that, you know what, I could move a little bit better in my office chair at work. You know, it could be anything. Just noticing something that you've noticed that week. So you can just, you know, it's kind of like counting your blessings or whatever you want to call it, but noticing and tracking your successes each week can be so motivating.
Absolutely. 100%. I think you pretty much put the nail in the coffin right there. So, Griffin, I think we hammered home a lot of really good points. And as far as I'm concerned, all of my clients better have six-pack abs when they walk in the door tomorrow. So if they don't, then you're fired. I appreciate the time and all the information that you put forward, and we'll definitely have to have you back on the show if you can, and whenever you get back in town from your trip, let's sync up a workout.
Yeah, sounds excellent. And if anyone else is looking just to reach out with me, should I just like give them like my social media?
Yeah,
is that all right?
All
right, cool. Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Twitter, so you can reach me. It's just my name. It's nothing special. I wish it was. It's just Krist, K-R-I-S-T, DeAngelis, D-E-A-N-G-E-L-I-S. So a little bit long there, but it's just my name. And then all my contact info is there. I have a website. So if you're just looking for even just recipes or anything like that, just head over to my site, and I have a bunch of healthy recipes that might just help you, you know, start to make some of those small changes in your diet. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I'll link all of that when I post this episode probably tomorrow afternoon. So anybody who is interested in more information, reach out to Kristen and get a hold of her. So, well, hey, have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Eric, and look forward to seeing you soon.
If you have any questions or comments, please find me on Twitter at Fitness Candor Podcast and at Eric Feigl, as well as Facebook, searching Fitness Candor Podcast. I'd love to hear what you have to say about featured guests and any topic suggestions you might have. Thanks again for listening.